Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Glad you dropped by. We've got a special program today. I've got a special guest along with a special co-host, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. And it is important that everybody know Jill and I have actually raised some folks, some teenagers.
Just a couple.
So far, so good. It's gone pretty well. But we've got a specialist here today, and all of our questions in this hour are going to be about young people. Zach Matchett is a youth specialist. And in addition to that, he works with youth at Northview Church, where I am the teaching pastor. Zach, how you doing?
Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
And we also have another link, because I think my wife babysat your wife when she was young or something like that.
Rumor has it.
Something like that. So anything that's good in Zach's life could have been messed up by my wife. And so we're glad for that. Anyway, the number, 1-800-229-3000. And some of the things we want to talk about, well, first of all, we're going to talk about maybe the three biggest dangers that are out there for kids and what we can do to minimize it or make the best of it. And Zach, what do you think is, in your mind, one of the biggest temptations or problems that are tripping up most of the kids today?
I feel like if you assess culture right now, just in our world, we're in a very highly individualistic culture.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you hear students, and I don't think it's just limited to students, by the way. I think this is probably going to cross-pollinate with even a lot of adults.
Right, of course.
You hear things like, well, you just got to be true to yourself. You just got to do what makes you happy. And
The
danger is, the trip-up is that they see those things as self-evident and not as beliefs.
Right, right.
So you talk to a student, it's like, well, I got to be true to myself. And it's like, well, what part of yourself do you need to be true to? And so the danger is that you fall into this accepting the cultural narrative that that's what is king. Those things, everybody's dealing with that. But the reality is that that's a pretty Western thing to think about. That's a pretty American thing to think about. Other places in the world, people may not be having those same questions. So that's a potential slip up of thinking, well, whatever I decide is right for me. That's the root of individualism.
As long as I'm sincere and I believe it,
well intentioned,
then it, and you know, I thought that we had pretty much with 9/11, we had destroyed that phrase that, well, whatever you believe is okay as long as you believe it deeply and sincerely, because those people that kill thousands of people believed it sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that we do, and I call it Pinocchio parenting, where our nose should grow. Telling a child you can do anything you want to do. I mean, I understand we want kids to have great dreams and all, but not every child can do everything they want to do.
It
really can trip them up with that. Well, we would love for you to do one thing, and that is to call this phone number, 1-800-229-3000. We'll do another program after this, and in that program, we'll just take normal calls. But right now, we just thought we would take some time and focus on young people and the struggles that we have. And I got to tell you, we have a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old. We've got a 19, 21, and now a 28-year-old. Madeline is 28, and she's living with us until April, doing an internship here in Indiana. And she is one of the greatest blessings in the world. Everybody that meets her loves her. In the worst of circumstances, great things, good things can come. And to me, the big key is that connection, the bond, and the attachment that's built with that child. You never get that chance back. We'll talk about that and a lot of other things right here on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. 3000. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Matt Zatchett.
That's right, Steve. Thank you.
That's the way I want to say it. Zach Matchett.
Too late. You already said it.
With us. We did it. I like the other way.
Too late. You already said it. It's in the microphone.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. 1-800-229-3000. Zach Matchett is on the program, and we are thrilled that he is. So let's go to the positive here, and let's talk about what you think are the most important things that a parent can do in those developmental years, or what are you encouraging parents to do?
Yeah, I think the research shows that outside of the first 2 years of life, no greater or more significant change happens in the lifespan of a human than between the ages of like 10 to 14.
Now, a lot of people don't know that, but I have heard that also. I've read that research. You've got really first 6 months, a little broader margin first 2 years. And then you come up to age 10 through 14. Boy, you really have an opportunity.
It's preteen, middle school. I mean, you think there's cognitive changes, there's hormonal changes, certainly there's emotional changes. And then from what I do, I think there's significant spiritual changes that take place as well. And so what we try to do and what I would encourage parents to do is the idea that one experience with God can change your life forever. So are you setting up your students to have an experience with God through some sort of a local church or ministry or the way that you're teaching them and raising them? Because one meaningful experience for a teenager can be the turning point. Barna Research says that I think it's like 2/3 of people that make a profession of faith do so before they're 18.
Yeah.
So,
which says if it doesn't happen by then,
this percentages are much lower. So it's for me, it's mission critical in that kind of preteen, middle school years. A couple other things I would say is, one of the catchphrases that we, not even catchphrase, it's a real value statement for us at Northview in our student ministry, is that community is king. Community is king.
Absolutely.
Having kids that are connected.
Yes, that's right.
And have a sense of belonging, because a lot of kids feel lost during that period. And then they go off into groups and places where, you know, parents wouldn't want them to be. So fostering that, you're right, I think is crucial.
It's true. I tell our students, don't be a Christian by yourself. It's just really simple. Don't try to live life alone. And so community is king. And maybe some other things, maybe from a cognitive standpoint, helping them move from more concrete to abstract thinking. I heard Dan Scott, he wrote a great book called Caught in Between, talking about that switch from like child to preteen.
Yeah.
And he makes a statement that kids ministry is centered around statements. Student ministry should be centered around questions. Because it moves from concrete to more abstract thinking. They start thinking about why and how.
Get them to articulate it, right? So you ask the question so they can articulate and hear themselves say it.
Yeah, because I think for kids, recitation is a big deal. Did you memorize the memory verse or whatever you learned at church today? There's like kind of a little tagline they might hear. Did you memorize that? To me, I think when you get into adolescence, there's more of, well, why is that important? You're actually giving the rationale for why it would be important. And not only that, how is this going to change me? What are the implications of how this plays out in everyday life? And kids are starting to think about those implications in reference to how people view them.
Right.
Like third person thinking. How do other people see me when I make this decision? And I think middle school students, a lot of times before they make a decision, they think, how am I going to be viewed after I make this decision? So then human approval becomes even higher. And so I think trying to help them navigate through that, because they have the ability, they just haven't had the pump primed yet.
Right.
So you need to be thinking more questions.
Well, and I'm going to get to another point here, but to reemphasize one of the things you said about community and what Jill said about belonging, kids mm-hmm. are going to belong somewhere.
Right.
For some, it's slower than others because of certain things, but they're going to belong. They're going to find a place where it feels like, quote unquote, home. There's a heart yeah. connection. And so you want every positive influence possible. My daughter, Madeline, she had some great soccer teams that she was on when she went to college at Azusa Pacific. Great community there and a lot of activity. But what I see is so sad is that too early the parent gives the child freedom, free time to do whatever they want to do, and they have no idea what that child is doing. And so they're either online in trouble in their free time that the parent has no input to, or they're out there at the mall or in a parking lot or someplace, and they're connecting with the wrong people because they are going to belong. So, yeah. if the only reason you go to church is just to get the kids in church, it's a good enough reason to mm-hmm. go to church. I'm telling you, it's better than not, because they need the church community over and over again. They need anything that can connect with them. Now, can you think of maybe an example of somebody that's getting it right, where things have gone well, and you're liking what you see?
Oh, sure. There's a family at our church that has several kids, and I find it really interesting that all of them, when they kind of get to an age that they've all made decisions for Christ, the parents have been very intentional in discussing that with them, but they're all serving as well. I think for me, for kids, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving others.
Sure.
So as parents, are you setting up your children for opportunities to serve? And in the local church context, we give students opportunities to serve in kids ministry. You know, when they get to a certain age, they're serving, or they're serving alongside an adult in the kids ministry, or even helping usher or whatever. And it basically solidifies that serving is a part of your discipleship journey. And this family that I'm talking about, the McDaniels, they do a great job of making sure that their kids are serving in the life of the greater church context, because they see it as necessary and beneficial for their spiritual growth. And so I would highlight them as a great family, because it's not just they're taking in biblical knowledge. They're putting it into practice,
right.
And they're benefiting the church as a whole by it.
Well, and
they're also learning that, you know, because it's such a me-centered time in life, they're also learning that other people are important, right? And they're
sure.
having to consider other people.
Yeah.
And it counters one of the big plagues, the plague of entitlement, where kids have everything laid out for them, and struggle is just a very, very, it's something that they don't ever expect to have. And then when they get it, boy, things seem to fall apart. Now, one of the things that we are known for here at New Life, of course, is the Everyman's Battle workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And how big a problem for young people is pornography? And then we can talk about some of the things that Northview does about it.
Stats don't lie. I mean, it's a real, I would use the word epidemic. I don't think that's overstating it to use that word. I don't think it's just an issue. It's probably the issue.
Yeah.
I think that, again, I'll go back to just the narratives of culture. You know, people see sex as simply the basis of relationships rather than an expression of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has a really good balance. The Bible says you need to be stingy with your body and generous with your resources. The culture says you need to be stingy with your money and generous mm-hmm. with your body.
Exact opposite.
Yep. So for me, it's totally upside down. So pornography is playing into that. It is a consumption-driven, the narrative, the sex narrative or ethos in our culture is fulfillment. The Bible is donation. You know, self-fulfillment in the culture. You know, if I'm not being sexually fulfilled, I'm not sexually compatible. I need to have access to this material online or wherever. Obviously, the rise of smartphones and accessibility and apps and Snapchat and lots of other things are all kind of temptations for students. But the Bible speaks of self-donation. I mean, sex is the one way to say to another person, a man and woman forever in marriage, I belong completely permanently, exclusively to you.
Right.
There's nothing else that we can use that says that more powerfully. And frankly, you can't do that to multiple people.
No.
It's just, it totally violates the nature of it.
It doesn't go well.
No, it doesn't. And so for students, I don't think that they see pornography in the same category. And I think at Northview, and there are plenty of other churches and organizations that are doing this too, listen, this is not an isolated thing. It's not just bothering you. It's actually warping how you view sex. And you're going to take that with you into whatever next season of life, oftentimes marriage. By the way, marriage won't cure it either.
No, and a lot of people think, we call it the bifurcation myth, that you can be out there lusting after other women, you can be looking at all the dirty videos and pictures, and then you eat some wedding cake, and it all changes. You have instant character, no temptation. It doesn't work that way. Hmm. In fact, it usually gets a lot worse. You know, one of the things that Northview did for us, I took Solomon down to Brown County, we rented a cabin, and we took this kit. Northview developed this kit. It had chili in it and games and a booklet, and we went through it. Yeah. And it was a great start on talking about pornography, talking about respecting women in relationship, and respecting yourself. I don't think you're going to do well if you don't address that issue with your child.
You have to start the conversation. And I think that parents need to recognize, especially those that follow Jesus, if you are not the sexual authority for your kids, someone else or something else will be.
They will if you get don't an authority.
Set, if you don't set the authority or the culture or the primary ethos of what the scriptures say, to me it means you need to elevate what the Bible says rather than, to me, I think we spend so much time kind of critiquing the culture. I think maybe that's fine. We need to elevate why the ethics in the Bible are actually superior.
Right.
And see it as more fulfilling than what the culture has to offer.
Right. You know, I try to help people understand, you know, you don't just tell the truth because it's a better way to live. You don't have to make up your life. But God is the author of truth. So, of course, we're going to honor God in telling the truth. God is love. So we're going to love. God is the source. It is in him and through him and to him that we do. Now, before we get too far, I want to be sure we've got this. We have a lot of people that listen. Mm-hmm. They have issues. They have struggles. They've been through, and they have been really quite faithful, I think you could say, in dealing with the struggles and the issues. Thousands of men through Every Man's Battle, and the wife or girlfriend or ex goes to Restore. This weekend, I'm in D.C. doing our New Life Weekend called Finding Freedom. How do these people with these issues, these struggles, and everybody has them, it's just our audience, we're dealing with them. But how do you not pass that down to your kids? How do you reverse the cycle or stop the cycle?
Yeah, I think, that's a challenge because some of it, I think, is a little inevitable, not to be fatalistic. I mean, I think it's because you're parenting, some traits are going to be passed down to your kids. Mm-hmm. So there is some inevitability to that. However, I do think that I find that parents who are leading themselves well tend not to pass down as many.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because to me, self-leadership is not only am I doing this for myself, but I intend to pass on what I am learning in my own life, both through the successes and the failures, to my children.
Right.
Kids don't want to be like their parents because of what they've been taught. Kids want to be like their parents if the parents have modeled well for them.
Yes.
To me, teaching and modeling are two different things. And so while it's important to be instructional and, you know, here are some pitfalls, don't, you know, you need to avoid this, avoid that. But if the kids see the parents being honest about things, about their own life, that's important. A quick second thing I would say is I do know one way that you could pass it down. It's this. If you are telling your children, even sometimes screaming or yelling at them, to do something that you secretly wish you didn't have to do either, kids will see right through that.
Right.
Good. Kids have a fake meter really, really high. They're perceptive. And the kids need to see you worshiping, you know, outside of a Sunday morning for an hour and a half. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, kids need to see you living in community. I mean, if it's the parents say, well, you need to be around better influences, to be around better kids, the parent, you know, the kids might be going, well, who are you hanging out with? And right. who are your friends?
So right. Your words and your actions need to match.
That's right. And again, easier said than done. Here I am. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be patronizing anybody who's not doing it. But I think it's a really crucial thing. So, so kids need to have that modeled well. And I think if they see their parents dealing with it honestly and really essentially kind of admitting to, listen, I don't have this together, but I'm willing to put my faith into practice by dealing with those questions.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times a parent will say about a 16-year-old, they'll ask, should I share the struggle I had in this same area? And I like to say, yeah, about 4 years ago. But I don't say that because I don't want to shame them. But, you know, when you're working on your problems, you don't all of a sudden wake up and go, wow, should I share this? It kind of becomes a natural part. You don't do it too early. You don't do it too late. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phones, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Zach Matchett is here with me, youth specialist, works in Northview Church where I'm the teaching pastor. You call us, 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Special program we're doing here about young people and youth and helping them and avoiding the big problems. We have resources, if you're interested in this. One, Purposeful Parenting. That's a mm-hmm. book that Jill was a part of. How We Love Our Kids. Part of the How We Love series, unbelievable. Preparing your son for every man's battle and then every young man's battle. Those are all there. You can get them, and they will help you. Right now, I want to go over here, and let's go to Beatrice, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, and she listens on that handy dandy, if I might say, app that we have, the New Life app. Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure. Beatrice, how could we help today?
So this isn't really a parenting question. I apologize. But I see my sister, for backstory, is in college, and she's due to graduate soon. And she's going to a Christian college, and her faith is so strong, but I don't know how to help her keep it going with the pattern that I see, at least in myself, and I see this possibly coming up in her, of leaving the nest and leaving that great Christian support system and then falling out of the faith. So So I don't know how I can help her keep that faith after the nest is gone.
Yeah. Now, let me just say this. It's absolutely a parenting question. And I think it's the concern of almost every believing parent that the college, the university, is going to destroy everything. And boy, do they ever challenge the faith.
They Zach, absolutely
what do. You
think? Well,
I mean, she's a sister, but this could apply to sisters and parents. Jill,
well, let me just
say,
because Beatrice is saying after she leaves college, but she's at a Christian college. You know, for a lot of parents, it's after they leave high school, right? How do you keep them from falling away?
Yeah, I could just quickly speak
right,
to
that's
that.
That's what had happened with me. I graduated high school and left the nest and fell out of faith and walked away for a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to happen to her.
Yeah, I would say, Beatrice, I mean, to me, as long as your sister is intentional about finding another support system, to me, it's very human nature to be nostalgic about what you once had and that it can't be replicated. It's like, well, I had this great support system. Maybe you come from a really strong local church or a great youth group, or, you know, I know a lot of students who get connected at parent church ministries in high school and they go to college or in college and go out into the, you know, the, quote unquote, the adult world. And I don't know if they've not been taught how to be proactive in seeking that out again. And so one of the things that I would encourage your sister to be thinking about is to make sure that her faith is not maybe too dependent upon whatever she had in the past, and that she actually has some tools. Okay, what kind of church am I looking for? You know, what kind of support system helped me before? How do I find that again in another group of friends or somebody else? And sometimes I think we wait for those things to find us.
Yeah. Beatrice, a quick question. When you started to question your faith, did you talk to your parents? What was their reaction if you did?
No, I didn't really talk to them. I was trying to, you know, do the grown-up thing and do it on my own. And
yeah.
They did encourage me. They knew I wasn't going to church, and they did encourage me, well, go find a chapel because in the area. And I was just so stubborn. No, there's all these reasons why I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But they did keep encouraging me, go find a church and get connected again.
Well, in a lot of cases, a person veers away because they realize, well, this isn't my faith, this is my mom and dad's faith. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, it was a little bit. At least when I first moved out, it was, you know, I grew up in the same church with all the same people. And, you know, that's what we did was Wednesday nights was the youth group and Sunday mornings was church. And that was my social circle. So it was almost a finding myself and making my faith my own kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me just encourage you to stick with your sister. Keep that communication open. And I think in everything that we do, trying to correct your child's faith or correct anything versus build the connection when they're in college, in the high school years, that's where the priority needs to be. It's all about the connection. And so often we need to resign from the instructional part of it all and come alongside as a coach, as an advocate, a mentor, and build the connection rather.
Well, and I think that Beatrice can play a really important role here. You know, with your sister, I think you know, hopefully you have a good rapport with her. And you already know some of the pitfalls that happened to you and the traps. And you can share your experience and what you wished you did differently. And also get her to articulate what she's thinking in terms of faith and how, you know, leaving home. I mean, a good point, Zach, that you brought up is, you know, a lot of times kids, you know, their world is pretty small. It's their high school, it's their church, it's their family, and they expect the rest of the world to look just like that. And going to a different church, it's going to feel and look differently. And so how, you know, to be prepared for that. I think a lot of times kids aren't prepared for the cultural differences in different areas.
No question about it. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back. 1-800-229-3000. Peg, we'll go to your call right after this. There is nothing more valuable than to unleash a young person into the university and then into young adulthood. And they're committed and they are loving and they're ready to make a contribution. That's what we want to see. We want them to be contributors, not just consumers. And boy, in this day and age, is it ever easy to get trapped into the consumption. So we really want to help. 1-800-229-3000, purposeful parenting, how we love our kids, preparing your son for every man's battle. All these can help. And so can Zach Matchett right after this.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, February 15th to the 17th.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself in our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Zach Matchett, youth specialist. Going to talk with him. Before we go to Peg, I want to remind everybody that it is this Friday, the New Life weekend, Finding Freedom. I don't know what you're struggling with, whether it's an unresolved emotion, it's an obsession that you just can't get over, a compulsive behavior, a habit, something that's troubling you. Is it shame, depression, fear, anger? We're going to deal with those things, and we're going to provide some resolution. Remember, our goal isn't to make you feel better about anything. It's to change your life. It's to transform your life completely. And we've seen those weekends be the beginning of transformation. And so we want you to join us. And then if you're a couple, February the 15th, we're also in D.C., it is the Marriage Intimacy Intensive. I don't know of anything that has affected more marriages so deeply that we're in deeper trouble than that. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and find out about it. Right now we'll go to Peg, and she has called us. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Peg, you are on with Zach, Jill, and Steve. Zach and Jill. It's kind of got a ring to it, I think. Maybe you don't. Anyway, yes, you're on, Peg. Hi.
Yes. My question is, how do you help a 12-year-old who is addicted to pornography? This 12-year-old is the grandson that we adopted about 18 months ago. It came with a lot of emotional, physical abuse, a lot of abuse, sexual being one of them. And as he's growing, he's beginning, we're finding all these other things out, pornography being one of them. And it is a struggle for him. It's also a struggle for us, because how do you, as the Bible said, love the unlovable, because there have been some things that if he wasn't related to us, I mean, he'd been gone a long time ago, just because of those things. But we do realize that it's a struggle. it is truly a struggle for him, and it's a struggle for us as to how to help him do this.
Okay. Mm. Now, quick question. When you say he's addicted to pornography, is he still using pornography?
If he gets anywhere near the internet, it's an absolute. He just cannot help himself. He will try and try. We put restrictions on everything that we have in the house. We'll make sure, in fact, right now we're not even letting him go to anybody else's house because he'll come home with underwear. He'll if he gets on their tablets or whatever, he'll go straight to the site.
But other than that, he's
a happy, normal kid. I mean, sports.
Right, okay. And then this question, what kind of help are you getting for him?
Well, initially the courts had, they had him going to someone until they said that the time was up. So he went throughout that course and for several months. And so we then moved to a different state. And so far, we haven't found anybody that will deal with someone so young.
This is a kid that's dealing with older issues at a very young age, right? He's been sexualized really young.
So
I agree.
Yeah,
that would
most
be
deal with older people.
Yeah, but to
so
me, that is.
Right.
That is that number one priority of all things is this is a child that whatever parenting you do, it has to be supplemented with some pretty major professional help. And we have seen someone do it. We've seen this turn around because of the right counselor at the right time. And we'll help you with that. When we get off
and this
the
is,
phone. But Jill, what are you thinking here?
He's in these crucial years, you know, because once he hits like, you know, 14, 15, you know, it's a different stage. And really, your time to mold him is now, where he will be the most receptive and he still feels dependent, right? You know, by 15, he's wanting really to break away. And become more his own person, even if he doesn't have the maturity to do so. But it sounds like you have a good rapport with him, Peg.
Yes.
Yeah, and that you guys have created a loving home.
He's been very closed at first because he said, "I just want you to be grandma. I don't want you to know the bad stuff. I just want you to be grandma." Cause when he was little, and so that was a problem at first because he would not open up. He did not want me to know all the ugly stuff. But,
of course,
I eventually found out anyway. So.
Yeah.
Well, you're
and
a real
his
hero for,
yeah,
for helping
you are.
Him.
His abusers, I'm wondering where parents are in this.
The parents' rights have been terminated. As far as we could find out, the abuser was one of the mom's boyfriends. His mom being my daughter, unfortunately, but she and the dad had such a rough, volatile relationship that the court stepped in when the children came to school abused.
Okay.
So he's just had a rough time.
So he's he's had a chaotic upbringing, and then, you know, essentially, I mean, to have your parents, you know, rights terminated, I mean, that's an abandonment, even though... you know, it was the right thing to happen. So I think, you know, for you, being someone, you know, like he didn't want you to know the bad about him, right? Because, you know, he wanted to keep you and wanted to keep you, you know, seeing him as all good. But you being able to love him in spite of the bad, you know, being that consistent person, that home base that he remembers from when he was young with you is so important. And I think that's what you said you were doing, is letting him know that you love him in spite of the bad. And because there's that commitment, the bad is not going to drive you away.
Now, Zach, if this mom and this boy were working with you at church, what would you do in to encourage her? How would you work with him? I don't know. What are you thinking?
Well, Peg, I resonate with the struggle that you're going through. Mm-hmm. I don't think that your struggle is unique at all. This is something that parents and grandparents, because they care for their kids and they know that pornography is such a a very, you know, prevalent issue among our teenagers, and it's just about trying to figure out how to get them help. I want to give you two things. One is more on the spiritual side, and the second one is more on the practical. The first one is, you talked about how he doesn't feel comfortable talking about the bad to you because you're grandma. It's almost kind of a protecting you of knowing too much a little bit. But I would say students need a safe space to talk about the bad, and they need, and I hope that local churches in your area, you know, for us at our church, we believe that every student and child should be in a small group weekly. I know that not everybody does small groups, but you do Sunday school, those types of things, in same gender settings, because we believe that students, because we want them to form a community, well, community is formed through sharing hardship many times. Mm-hmm. And kids don't think, well, I can't talk about this with, you know, my family. Well, maybe they would talk about it with a caring leader who's not their biological family, so it's kind of an objective third party, as well as actually opening up to it about their peers. I find that when one student is brave enough to admit the struggle they're going through, the floodgates open. And maybe your grandson could be that for somebody else, but maybe they could get into a group where somebody else is opening up about their struggle with pornography, and that would help them feel like, oh, I'm not alone. I mean, C.S. Lewis said, the start of every great friendship and relationship is, you two, I thought I was the only one. Right. So I think that shared common strength, common struggle, so could be true. A really important thing. The second thing, real quick, practical, is it sounds like you've got some restrictions on devices. I think that's a very, very important thing. I would just be thinking through what resources are out there. You know, obviously things like internet filters and, you know, things like Covenant Eyes and X3 Watch and a lot of other apps that also provide accountability services. So that way every 2 weeks or a week, you're getting a report of website history. And then secondly, just before we went on the air, I was saying, you know, things like disabling the App Store on your phone or disabling Google Play and, you know, disallowing them from deleting and installing apps. There are things now that even cell phones are doing that are natural to their phone, but actually help us as parents raise our kids right by, you know, enabling those restrictions. And so I would stay the course on that, because what they need to hear, these students that are struggling with this, is I have to have a whatever it takes mentality.
Right. Mm-hmm. That is right. Well, let me send you two books. I'll send you the Preparing Your Son for Every Young Man's Battle, and then I'll send you Every Young Man's Battle. And there are things in both of those that he can use. But pretty soon, I mean, he just needs to read, and you read with him, Every Man's Battle, because he's doing some very, very dangerous adult things. But here's the thing. Here's a grandmother who's there for him. And how many kids get in trouble and the grandmother is not there? It hasn't happened. I'll tell you, some of you grandparents, you are the heroes of the world. And we're grateful for you. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for the final segment. Zach Matchett is with us, along with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Our number, 1-800-229-3000. We'll tape a program after this. And don't forget, this weekend, you can find freedom at the New Life Weekend. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelly Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelly's example, I have seen such transparency It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things for you to be aware of. If you want the most up-to-date information from New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You get special offers, connection, and encouragement. And if you are on social media, you might want to get Covenant Eyes, our partner in an internet filter for your computer. But it's more than just a filter. It's also an accountability tool. It's great to use with your spouse, a friend, or an accountability partner, and provides reports for online activity on tablets, smartphones, and computers. You'll get your first 30 days free when you use the code NLM. Look for the Covenant Eyes link on the newlife.com website to get you started. Steve, back to you.
Thanks, Terry. Before we go back to Zach, I want to just take 2 minutes to remind you that we do need your support. People come in at the end of the year, and then January comes, and sometimes, well, we have to ask Triple Dog Heart. This month, if you give a gift of any amount, I'll send you Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life by Dr. Dave Stoop. Now, Dave is just about the wisest guy around, and he knows this stuff. I see this book everywhere. It is a bestseller. You can get it for a gift of any amount. And then, if you join Club New Life, to say thank you, Mylon and Kay put together 4 videos. You can't find them anywhere else. One is on anger and the love styles, parenting your adult kids, and then talking to kids about sex, and 12 questions that are going to change any relationship. 4 videos, very short. I mean, they've got great content. You're going to love them. They're longer than most that we do. And if you know anything about Mylon and Kay, you'll know this is worth that monthly $30 a month to join Club New Life. And then you have access to the entire video library. I just did video number 300 when I was in California on Friday. Call us, help us if you can. When you help us, somebody's life is transformed because we reach them in a way we could never reach them without you. That phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to join us on the next program, it's 1-800-229-3000. But right now, let's go to William, Fort Worth, Texas. William, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. How are you today?
Great. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help today?
Well, I was listening to you on the radio, and my question was, I have 2 older children, males, and how do I go to them and parent them and confront them with an issue that I know is wrong with things that they're doing when I myself am struggling with it, but I don't want to neglect the fact that I'm a parent and I still have that obligation to do so.
Yeah. Okay. So, Zach, what do you say to a parent who is struggling but wants their kids not to struggle in the same area?
I would say the time is now. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. At Northview, we created a thing. And actually, you mentioned it with you and Solomon. You had a conversation about the dangers of pornography and other things. Could be a number of issues, but you know, having meaningful conversations between father and son, and for a father to say, "Listen, this is a conversation where we're coming to the table as equals," I think would really move the needle a lot. And your sons to say, "This is something that is a real struggle in my life as well. However, I'm going to help support you in your steps to get better." And maybe in some ways you guys can help support me in steps to get better too. I mean, that shared commonality, I think that can be pretty healing. And I think too, secondly, I would say, you know, what steps are you taking to overcome that challenge in your own life apart from your children? Because again, if they see you in action taking steps to get better, maybe that would help them to rationalize, you know what, maybe dad is a safe person to talk to about this because we see him dealing with the issue on his own.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we are all for parents sharing appropriately the things that they struggle with. But sometimes maybe it's not the right time or your particular situation, it's not going to go well for you. So rather than saying, here's how I failed, now I want you to not fail, sometimes you say, hey, this issue, let's just say it's pornography. The pornography issue is a huge issue for every male and now female. So here's what we're going to do as a family to reduce the potential that it becomes a more severe problem or a problem at all. And so you say, we're going to limit. We're going to put a control on the app store. We're going to limit our screen time. We're going to use Covenant Eyes or whatever it is. And we're going to go to some meetings where people share about their sexual addiction. Because here's one of the things that we tried to talk to Solomon about very early on. This isn't like having a bad attitude or throwing a rock through someone's window. Those things can stop. But when you do this, this is like cigarettes or this is like heroin. There's an addiction here. You don't just one day decide, oh, I don't think I'll do that anymore. It hangs on. And so we really try to help educate about the severity of it and the susceptibility of it. But more than anything, you've got to be open with them that you're not perfect or that you've never stumbled in any area of your life, William. I think that openness about, hey, life is a struggle for all of us, and I want to help you with your struggle. I think that's more important than you deciding, I've got to share everything. But Zach is on it. The time is now. There's nothing more powerful, William, than when you do the painful thing and you take care of the problem. Now, I've got to ask you one quick question. Why is it that you, I mean, you're a conscientious guy, you called us, why haven't you done something to get rid of whatever it is for good forever?
I think I've tried my way, of course. God's way, I haven't really tried, but the fear of marital problems, right? If that comes out, then maybe I lose my wife or I lose what family I have with me right now. I'm a little fearful of being that honest about it because I'm fearful to lose it.
Well, here's the thing. You go take care of it. You tell your wife, this is a little struggle. I'm going to go take care of it. Then you get 6 months behind you where you're clean and pure. And I'll tell you, that kind of confession where you've done something about it, you're not just in shame, not doing anything, that goes a long way to not losing that marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, you tell her, hey, I've known I've had this problem for a long time, and then she discovers it, and you get caught, that's going to destroy a marriage, almost guaranteed.
Yep.
So you're really going to have to work through your fear and do whatever you can. Hold on. We want to talk to you about every man's battle because that's the best thing you can do in the least amount of time to help you in that situation. All right. Yeah. I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you every man's battle. I hope that that's going to really help you, and I'll send you Worthy of Her Trust, Jason Martinkus. It's a great, great book. Zach, thank you for being here. Thanks for helping
us. Thanks, Zach.
Just to focus on this issue. So many of our folks have kids, and they don't know what to do. And so many, just like this, are grandparents, and they're raising those kids. Mm-hmm. And we need all the encouragement that we can. If you need some help or a resource, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, Purposeful Parenting, How We Love Our Kids, Preparing Your Son for Every Man's Battle or Every Young Man's Battle. Those are all available. By the way, Every Man's Battle is coming up February the 8th in San Jose, March the 8th. In Dallas, Texas, April 5 in Philadelphia, the New Life Weekend, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You call us. It's this weekend. Come join us. Now, if you want to join us on the program, this next program, it's a simple number, 1-800-229-3000. We'll talk about anything at all that you want to talk about, 1-800-229-3000. 3000. Come join us. Thank you, Zach. Thanks, Jill. We'll be here.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.